That's so good. I want to talk a little more about small groups today and just go a little bit deeper with just a few verses. This won't take long to kind of back up because it's biblical for us to, the body of Christ, to be together. And I've seen it time and time again. It seems like oftentimes when I see someone is struggling or things really are hard, or for one reason or another, their faith seems to be squelched, often it can be traced back to this common thing. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, "He who separates himself quarrels against all sound wisdom." It's just important for us to be together. So I love small groups. They've made an incredible difference in my life. You know, as we think about it, I'll just challenge you with a question. Who do you have? Who are the people in your life? Who's there for you? I mean, really there for you. Who's got your back? I know for me, it's a lot of you. And I think it's so important for us to have just a community of people that we're together with, we're raising our families with, we're doing life with, we're helping, we're marrying and burying people together. We're just doing our life. This is our time. This is our life. So we really want to encourage people to be a part of that. And it's biblical. There's a lot of verses that back this up for sure. In the Bible, we see gatherings all over the place, don't we? The Lord is typically Old Testament, New Testament. People were gathering together, whether it was in a temple or wherever it was that the Lord would gather people together. Even the Lord himself is in fellowship with the triune God, with himself. This relationship is just so much more profound and important than I think we can sometimes realize. At one point in the Bible, it says there will be a gathering. Even the dead, we will gather with our Lord Jesus in the air one day. We talked about that not too long ago in our Thessalonians series. There's this gathering. So the bride of Christ, which is his church, which is us, it's not just me, it's not just you, it's all of us collectively together. We are the bride Christ. I mean, we are the bride of Christ. And as people come to faith, they enter into that gathering, into that fellowship. And the Lord cares incredibly, immensely for us. And he wants us to be together. There's something important about us gathering and being together. Now, small groups isn't the only thing, but it's certainly a part of it. And it's what we're talking about this morning. In the Old Testament, we see big group gatherings in the temples. I would guess hundreds and even thousands at times we see in the Bible. The bigger group gathering. There's bigger group gatherings. And yet, as we'll see, I'll show you scriptures here. We see evidence of people meeting in each other's homes. And you know, as we grow bigger, we need to get smaller. We need both. We need our bigger group meeting, and we need smaller group meeting, whatever that might look like. And our culture is changing, and this may change too, the way we do church, the way we do home groups. All of that is subject to change. The Lord is leading that. However he orchestrates that, whether we like it or not, we'll have to come into line with that. But for right now, we still have public buildings. Here we are praising Jesus in public in America, and it's a beautiful thing. And we can meet in our homes. And we can have our Bibles and we can talk openly about our faith. So that's the time we live in. We need to grab a hold of that and really do it. So let's just look at a few things here. I like that Psalm 34:3. It says, "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Some of you might see yourself in there. There's different times along our walk of faith here. I gleaned a lot of this from Bill's small group study. So kudos to him for doing all the work, and I just get to use the PowerPoint and stuff. But let's exalt his name together. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus together. And small groups is a part of that. Let me pray one more time, and we'll dig into some scriptures to back that up. Lord, I love you. I thank you for my friends and family here, Lord. I thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for your death on the cross, your crucifixion. And I thank you that you rose again, and God, you live. My God lives. So I praise you this morning. Pray these next few minutes, Lord, you'd really help us with what you want us to see and hear. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. In your name, amen. So real quickly, just going to go through a few things. Three reasons we need small groups. And start with this. We need people to adequately survive. Bill found this, and I sat in on his teaching when he did this for small groups. I think it's kind of quite an illustration. Tragic, really, sad, but I think it is a good illustration of what can happen to us spiritually if we're not with other people. We need people to adequately survive. This is a story in the background photo there of something terrible that happens to some Romanian orphans and a real medical condition many of them suffer from. And I'm sure it's not only in Romania. But in Romania and many other Eastern European countries, there are so many orphans institutionalized that there isn't enough food or medical supplies or staff members to take care of them. The babies are often past toddler stage, are still kept in diapers and placed in cribs because there's no other way to take care of them. They are lifted out to be fed, and they infrequently have their diapers changed. There's no real physical contact with other humans, especially any of the cuddling and holding that babies need to develop normally. They end up in semi-catatonic states and often die from lack of human contact. This condition is called failure to thrive syndrome. Oh my goodness, so tragic. We need to understand that the failure to thrive syndrome can happen in our spiritual lives. It can be avoided and it can be cured, but prevention doesn't happen by itself. The onus is really on us, on you, to step in, maybe out of your comfort zone, to fight the flesh a little bit, to sacrifice a Monday night football game or whatever it might be, to love others. The love other verses, just there are so many of them in the Bible. There's different ways and different things that the Lord gives us. But don't be one of those persons that has this spiritual flatline. Small groups, they function like a family, like a spiritual family. I can attest to that. Let's just look at some of these verses that back it up. Greet also the church that meets at their house. That must be a house church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16:19, Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. We see it time and time again. Here's a couple more verses. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. To Aphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. It's scriptural. It's just not an idea that The Rock came up with. It's scriptural. We see people have been doing this for thousands of years, getting together to live life. Got some own photos, and forgive me, I know it's not the best quality. But back in the day, over 20 years ago, Jeannie and I, when we first started being involved and first started doing small groups, we had our beautiful little children helping us. Kelsey was often stuck babysitting other kids. Or no, it was a joy for her. I used to say, you get to watch those kids tonight. You know, Friday evenings at 7 o'clock, and we used to call them fellowship teams. This was in Loveland, Colorado. And very similar, a little bit different model than what we have here, but oh my goodness, did this imprint my life. And I have life friends that I've been running with because of this act. Look at all the kids that we had in my living room there. We didn't have childcare for a lot of the time. We were just all together and doing life together. I wasn't even bald then. Look at that. There's the back of my head. The Lord has done a lot in our life for us. I personally have been doing this for over 20 years. And it's challenged my faith, and it's kept me hot for the Lord. Another, again, this came out of a an album that we have, but I think we all were trying to be cool and have goatees back in the day. It's like the goatee man group back then. And just people that are near and dear to my heart that really imprinted me. And Bill, I don't know if he stole this line or if he came up with himself, but it's a good one. The Christian life is caught and not taught. And I really resonate with that, as for my own marriage, you know, I needed good examples. So I would see marriages that I thought were something that I wanted, and I tried to be with those people so I could learn their secrets or their habits, the things that they did. So, and doing life, you know, I caught a lot of my Christian life from Bill Young. He was in my living room a lot of times, and I was in his living room a lot of times. This Christian life is caught, not necessarily taught. It can be taught too, but we need to rub shoulders together and learn from people. Good company really can build up your faith. Bad company corrupts good character. So you want to run with people. But and where the rubber meets the road, there's fruit in my life and my children's lives and the people that I've been running with for years because we've made the effort to get together. And we're not always like-minded, not always the same, but the Lord puts us together for good reasons. Let's just go quickly here. God's plan is for Christian community. I love these verses from Acts. I think they really describe the Christian life and what the Lord wants for us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. It was on verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, I think that is happening at the Rock Church. The Lord is adding to our numbers daily those that are being saved. And I think that the community that God's given us, we're not perfect, we're learning, but the things that the Lord's doing in our midst, it's Him. His Spirit is moving. Be a part of it. Don't miss out on what the Lord is doing. This is our time. And I just think this is Acts 29. The Bible is continuing on. I like this illustration that Bill likes to use, and I like it. The charcoal, the embers, the hot, you know. Often I'll talk to people and they say, well, you know, my faith's just, you know, it's okay. And I want to be hot for the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but you take one of these burning embers out and you set it over by itself, it'll cool down. But there's certain things that we can do, that we can lean into, we can step into. I love going on mission trips because part of it, because I get to rub shoulders with people that are hot for the Lord, people that are excited about what He's doing all over the world. And in turn, what happens? Then I start burning hot for the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. So we need to be with other people that are excited about the Lord. I need it for my own sanity, to be with people that are running hard for the Lord. It's healthy and it's wise to do. Second thing we need, second reason we need to be in small groups is we need fellowship to be fully alive. You know, there are many who have become familiar with the word koinonia. The most common thing people say is that it means fellowship. Koinonia defined as fellowship, participation, sharing, partnership, and communion. And there's a couple of quotes here that I like. This first one from Pastor Mel Lorenz. Elements of koinonia, here we are, such as sharing material goods, sharing in ministry, and being partners in the gospel, are rooted in the spiritual reality of a connection between believers that is based on their connection to Christ. There's just something about our fellowship, our gathering, our being together that's important for us. I found this quote from Ray Steadman, and I think I really appreciate how real it is.
It goes against the grain to give an image of oneself that is anything less than perfect. And many Christians imagine that they will be rejected by others if they admit to any faults. But nothing could be more destructive to Christian koinonia fellowship than the common practice today of pretending to have not to have any problems. I don't know about you, but I don't want to run with pretenders. And I have a tendency to be a pretender. I think there's part of us, I don't want people to know my stuff. We do. Oftentimes, well, I'll keep my stuff in the closet at home so nobody sees it, and I'll bring out my made-up self out into public so you can see who I really am. But really, I think a fellowship or Christian community really brings out into light so that we can't hide. I always tell my children as they're trying to figure out relationships or whatnot, you know, anything done in secret is just not healthy. Just get things out on the table, especially if a young man, young woman are headed down that road to marriage or whatnot, you know. As long as you're transparent and everything's on the table and you're not trying to hide anything, hallelujah, that's a beautiful thing. Let's celebrate that. Let's lift that up. Let's show the world what God's doing. There's nothing to hide. When the Lord's in it, when the Lord's doing it, it's a glory to Him. Same with our families. You know, I get it. Everything in my house is not tied up neatly and pretty and primped and perfect. I've got things that I struggle with too. Our family does. Well, let's just be real with that. Don't hold back from being a part of something just because you think you have some business that nobody can handle. Please. You're just not that special. The Lord can work on that. The Lord can do supernatural healing. And there's forgiveness. And oftentimes, you know, yeah, we look at that other person and say, I don't want to spend time with that crazy nutcase. You say, why would I go there? Well, because it would be good for you to be with somebody that's different than you. I think that's kind of what the Lord does with marriage, isn't it? My wife and I are so different, and the Lord just went, get together, you two. Because I want to make you more. I want to make you more than what you are. And oftentimes we have to get out of where our circle or whatever it might be of our sameness. And sometimes we need to be stretched. And I get it. I know that fights the flesh. Well, fight back. The Lord wants us to love one another. The Lord wants us to be together. And I appreciate Ray Steadman just saying, you know, just be real with each other. They witness God's goodness together. I like this from Acts from 43, what we just read. Let's read it again. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. You know, one of my favorite verses comes from Psalm 37. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I have seen the Lord do amazing things. The last 17 years, in Utah especially, because this church started in a small group at Bill's house. It was just his family, my family. And the Lord has thousands of people. The gospel has cut a swath right through this state, incredibly. And I can't help but believe it's just going to multiply exponentially from this point. The Lord's doing special things, and open your eyes and see it and be a part of it. Don't miss out on it. There are wonders happening in our day, today. This week, I had the privilege of praying with someone that asked Jesus into their life. They're just starting this wondrous relationship, this wondrous walk of faith. That's really happening. That's a wonder. That's a miracle that God would rescue people like us day after day after day. And it's happening in Utah. People are coming to Christ by the droves. And it's an exciting time to be a Christian and be involved in what the Lord's doing right now. They shared material possessions together. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who has need, as he had need, you know. And I don't know if we quite get this, like in biblical times, I think they were better at this than we are. I mean, I have some of your stuff from your garage sale at my house, but But there's I think we need to get better at this. I think we need to grow at helping each other. Don't get me wrong, a lot of you got this way figured out, and you're giving everything to others, and many of you have given a lot to me, and I just praise you, or praise in the Lord, and thank Him that He put you in my life. They worship together. Every day they continue to meet together, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number again those who are being saved. They worship together. Worship is more than the songs we sang. Certainly when we sing, we call it worship. And did you get here in time for worship today? Worship is a lifestyle. It's much more than this time together. This is part of it, reading the God's word publicly together and being together. That's part of it. Singing songs, that's certainly a component. But that's just a part of it. It doesn't stand alone. The music is an incredible part of it. We all love music. I think we'd agree on that, and God uses it. But worship is much more than that. Oftentimes, it's sacrifice. The sacrifice of our life. It's, go ahead, you go before me. Worship is much more. The Lord came to serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve the Lord Himself. And He gave His life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave everything. And He's our example. They experienced life together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know, there's nothing quite like a church picnic. Everybody brings a little something. You get to taste all those different kinds of things. And some of you are amazing cooks, and it's just a sweet time. But there's just something about having meals together that's really special. Something about sharing a meal with someone. You know, I always worked hard to try to have my family around the supper table. I just think it was just an incredible tool for us as parents to have our families and share a meal together and just talk about, just be real about life. But it's good to share a meal together and feed them, and they will come. Some of your small groups, man, you're going to need to go to Costco for all those groceries. But we need small groups to utterly thrive. In Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together. Man, if I was to get a tattoo, maybe it'd be that one. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, that's a charge to us, Christians. It's not just a good idea, it's God's word. It's a directive. It's a directive. If you don't want to do that, again, you gotta get over yourself in some ways. Be humble. Be open. So we can experience life together. We need to thrive. A community has its benefits, of course. Ecclesiastes, I like these verses. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You know, I'm so thankful because I've fallen a number of times and in a number of ways. I'm so thankful when I had cancer that I was a part of this church. I'm so thankful because my freezer was full of food. People brought me meals. People prayed for me. People went to bat for me. God healed me. It was His thing all along, but he used that in some ways to bring us together. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through health issues. I'm all just maybe me and a couple people. No. The Lord, there are just incredible benefits about being in a vibrant body of Christ. And lots of things we don't plan for, we don't prepare for. We don't prepare for these disasters necessarily as well as we should. So we're caught flat-footed, and if you don't have a circle of friends that love you and care about you, man, the struggle can just be enormous, can be blinding. Oh, man, I'm kind of rolling on. I got to go here. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's another quote from Andrew Murray. Our love to God is measured by our everyday fellowship with others and the love it displays. The New Testament models small groups. You see this? By all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Romans 14, there. For let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. I'm going to cruise through here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Like this quote from Charles Spurgeon, some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude, but believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people. Bottom line conclusion, don't become a spiritual orphan. Join a small group today. There's tables outside today. Be sure and get your name on a list. Be sure and commit to a small group and be a part of it. You'll be glad you did. It'll bless your life. I'm going to close in a prayer, and I think I went too long, so that last song will go without that. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you we can be together. Lord, I pray you'd lead us and direct us, Father God. I pray for our small groups that they would be filled up with your people, Lord, and that community would just be incredible, Lord. Christ-centered, Spirit-filled community. Would you please help us with that, Lord? And I just pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.